Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Hello, I'm Wendy, and we're back. It's that time already. The cool thing about doing podcasting is you kind of have your own time frame, your own window, your own comfort zone with this. So it's nice because when I'm ready to do a show, all my ducks usually are in a row. And the thing about that, though, with all the stuff that's happening everywhere else, is there's juggling on the other end. And for instance, last night, knowing I've got all this other stuff happening and preparing for shows and trying to get the guest list lineup, I'm really coming to terms with there are some things now that I don't have a topic covering with a guest because it's my life. And last night, in the middle of the night, the dog asked to go out. Of course, you know, that's about the time I am super sound asleep. And so the dog is barking from the middle of the living room, trying to make sure that I am going to respond eventually. And if I don't respond, there's going to be an accident. So I do have to do something. And then the dog's whining, like, okay, my time is running out. So we take the dog out. When I come back to bed, the dog is looking in the corner of the room on just basically on guard and ears up and staring and very quietly just staring, perched at the end of the bed, looking in the corner of the room. Now, when this has happened before, you might have heard the one when I talked about the UFO in the bedroom and the dog let me know by growling. Unfortunately, I couldn't see anything this time. However, he gave it his undivided attention. There's nobody outside. There wasn't a noise. This was something that it was fixated inside the room, so I could tell that it had his attention. This kind of stuff is happening a lot more frequently. And doing the volumes, the massive amounts of reading that I do and reading people's stories. The great thing about this is right now is you don't have to worry about being limited to going through a regular publisher, you know, waiting for a big house to publish something and determine that it's credible or that there's an audience enough to merit them investing in it. There are so many self-published authors out there right now who are sharing their stories and stories that are incredibly helpful when it comes to all of this explosion of consciousness. And I call it consciousness. It isn't all just psychic. It isn't all ET. It isn't all the paranormal stuff. It's experiences with basically non-ordinary events. And that goes from time shifts, from seeing ghosts, from connecting with dead relatives, from talking to fairies, Sasquatch, all sorts of things like that, that we tend to put in different categories and separate it. And I think that really does a big disservice to the whole area, because what happens when you start exploring, when this thing enters your life, and whether it's a psychic encounter, whether it's a near-death encounter, an out-of-body experience, all of a sudden there is a new awareness that there is more to being a human, to having a life experience, reality, than most of us have been taught or the society that we are in gives credit to. Because some of these things are fringe. And when I see on the books, the reviews saying, oh, this is just too far out. And when they got into that stuff, it was so freaky or it was just so disconnected from reality. It's like, well, you know what? It's a different part of reality you haven't bothered to get into, or it hasn't been dumped on your plate. A lot of times when these experiences happen, the people who are having them, and myself included, when it first started happening, I hadn't done all the research. I didn't know that this is, you know, there's a history of these kinds of events, experiences, encounters that goes well beyond anything that we are currently talking about, you know, in our everyday day-to-day. There was a big disclosure in December, right under the wire, 2017. I remember doing a read with a Magic 8 Ball for my blog, just for fun. I need to do another one to do a prediction for this year. But, you know, the question just for fun was, will aliens land on the White House lawn? And, of course, I think the answer was yes. Okay. Well, they didn't, but they did drop a load, or someone dropped the information about the Pentagon UFO study that had been in for, 5 years, in effect, where they're studying all these kinds of things. And I won't get into all of that here. I did post about the blog on that, topic on the blog, Wendy's Coffee House, because this is where I go with a lot of this material. I was doing it for Talking to Nightlights, but this is, it's just so much, it's beyond all of that, that with the Wendy's Coffee House, I can address the other things like the artificial intelligence, the mind control, the alchemy, shamanism. It's a wider spectrum that I can cover there. And lately, I actually did one interview recently with Converis, and these guys have iDetect, which is absolutely amazing and a huge game changer. What happens with this little program, it's more accurate than a polygraph. And also polygraph. Oops. Little Freudian. Anyway, what happens with it is that you don't have to hook people up to a bunch of electronics. They just sit in front of a computer screen and take the test, and it looks at their eyes and gauges the contact, what's happening with your eyes. And this is something that was on a sci-fi show. I watched Stargate Atlantis and Stargate SG-1. And in that show, there was some kind of thing that did specifically hone in on the eyes to see if somebody was being truthful. Well, this product has been in use, not completely in the U.S. because there are some issues with whether it's legal. But the kind of questions they can ask to get around that issue gives them enough information to determine whether somebody is telling the truth. And this has a huge, huge impact, I think, and will, in the way that we will conduct tests, I think, across all levels of whether it's law enforcement or even if it goes into retail or the corporate world. You know, you're looking at a lot of potential in terms of trying to get people to be forthcoming. And the stuff they're looking at isn't a matter of infidelity. I think, however, the dating game would be improved if that technology went there. But it's more like bribery, money laundering, drugs, the usual robbery, theft, those kinds of things. Those are more the issue. But so that's a game changer that's I think, a huge shift in the technology that we are going to be encountering on a day-to-day basis here in the next in few years. And just the stuff that was coming across the wire today in terms of artificial intelligence. And I think the newest one was the learning. The robot program was able to develop comprehension and reading level on par with human. Well, that's big too, because then that takes out a lot of jobs eventually, and sooner than later. These kinds of things are going to be changing our day-to-day experiences in ways we haven't yet begun to fathom. And when they're talking about the types of things that robots are going to be able to do, and that we are kind of just, I think, more along, we're considering it more of a sci-fi thing. Well, this stuff is happening. And with that, the things that we as people are doing, we need to bring our game up too. And that has to do with this consciousness stuff and going back to not ruling out things that we have considered before to be paranormal, to be fringe, to be unusual, unnatural. A lot of this is natural. We just haven't been able to make a way for it to become mainstream. And mainstream doesn't always mean that's, I think, legit or credible. It just means the more people know about it. And when you start exploring the work that people have done for the last 40 and 50 years, and speaking specifically to the work that has been done with the military in remote viewing, the things that they brought to that with Ingo Swann, who was psychic, and Joe McMonagle, who is still alive and psychic. I say that because Ingo is deceased. But the things that they were able to do to show and demonstrate that psychic abilities are indeed legit and then take that beyond that to instructing other people how to do that. Well, they're just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many people out now who are saying, I am doing this and I have been doing this and I just didn't talk about it because it wasn't cool, because people ridiculed me or people didn't believe it or it frightened people. I remember when I first started talking about the nightlight and the changes, the things that happened as I experienced this completely, to me, foreign, novel, unusual, fantastic, magical relationship was something I couldn't see and had to learn how to channel to be able to connect with. There wasn't anywhere I could go to talk about that. That's 20 years ago. So that's still new enough that those kinds of things are now becoming more, if not accepted, at least acceptable to introduce into a conversation and not have the room automatically get uncomfortable and quiet. It's like, okay, yes, because by now more people have had a little experience, a little instance, something that said, well, maybe there's something to this. They've had a relative who has died and given them some kind of an indication that maybe their presence is still there. They've had a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience, something that shifted the paradigm enough to say, what we see on the physical plane isn't all there is. There's more to this. And that's what I am covering in all of these shows. The one that's coming up, I've got some more in terms of content on out-of-body and near-death experiencers, because they, for the most part, are giving us a huge insight into this non-corporeal, the non-physical realm and the life after death, the fact that the body may expire, but the being who inhabits the body doesn't. Now, the reason I include the artificial intelligence and those kinds of things in with this is because if I can experience with my nightlight something that activates the electronics, something that in some way, shape, or form interferes with our electronic equipment, well, then for me, and especially since when I'm also experiencing that, I'm getting telepathy, some kind of a prompt from another form of consciousness that doesn't happen to carry a physical vessel along, then I think that can also, in some way, shape, or form, transfer its consciousness, its presence to a vessel, whether it happens to be a computer or a robot, I don't think makes a whole lot of difference, because at the point of connection, it's engaged with the electronics, with the inner workings of that vehicle. And that's all that it would be considered, is a vehicle, just like the body, where we have this biological vehicle. The other artificial intelligent, and in some way, shape, and form, as we're getting these things to look more human and developing muscles that look very much synthetic muscles that look very human, I think we're really close to making the next step and creating no longer robots, but humanoid and conscious beings. And we don't have any idea how that's going to turn out. For some, it's because it's completely impossible. But for others, even Elon Musk, who's saying, look, guys, let's put some brakes on this. Let's go in and put some measures that we can have some boundaries and some limits before it completely gets out of control. And there are people who are laughing at that, saying, well, there's not a problem. We're in charge. We're the humans. We're better than that. This is a technology we really can't fully appreciate until we see what it's capable of. And there are just now in many labs across the world, some demonstrations of exactly what it can do. It can self-evolve, and that's huge. Because I don't in the way that I have seen us evolve with this consciousness thing over the past 40 years, 50, 100, depending on, you know, what you're reading, we aren't evolving that fast. We aren't keeping up. What it has been able to do in the last 10 to 15 years is absolutely extraordinary. And so watching that happen on a day-to-day basis now, 2018 is going to be a phenomenal year. We are going to learn so much in terms of predicting what's happening. We haven't even dreamed how far this can go. And that's where we have the ability to change the program, to upgrade the program, and to in some way, shape, or form, bring ourselves back into the equation by expanding our abilities with consciousness. And there are some phenomenal things happening right now with the studies and the research that they are trying to define. And can you define consciousness? One of the researchers I know right now that I have read about is saying this is what it looks like. And yes, we think we're just right, very close to being able to define and figure out consciousness, where it is. That's still in, you know, basically the science of maybe. It isn't the science of we've got it figured out. But if you go into the work that remote viewers are doing, and I posted some of this recently on the blog because I'm going to be doing an interview with one of the guys who also posts a blog and has done a book, and his name's Robert Peterson. Bob Peterson has the book Out of Body Experiences, How to Have Them and What to Expect. And he's been doing this work since the 80s, practicing. He had a couple of experiences that then basically piqued his curiosity, and he started to learn how to intentionally do the out-of-body work. And so he, along with many others, has given some tips on how to make it work for yourself. So I'll be talking with him. But on the blog, I just included experiences from a lot of different people on out-of-body work. And I had, for conscious living, there's one in the files here with Graham Nichols. And he also does out-of-body work. And it's Out-of-Body and Near-Death Experience Society. He's the director of that. I could only find a Facebook page for that, and he said it was coming, so it may be, there might be something else coming along with that. But talking with him about his experiences out-of-body. The thing is, what we are required to do right now is to keep an open mind and not discount other people's experiences, because there's a huge chance that we can learn something from each and every experiencer, whether it's an ET experience, whether it's a ghost experience, whether it's a near-death experience, no matter how far out it sounds and how unlike anybody else's experience it sounds. Just because it's different doesn't mean it isn't valid. That's where we stand to lose, by discounting something because it doesn't meet with the current expectation of this is what it's supposed to be like when you encounter an alien. There's another interview I'm doing that is with a wonderful guy, David, who sees these experiences or aliens, and he is fascinating. He's 72 years old, and they've got a movie. It's an indie film. And with him, he read a book and then remembered, started having conscious memories of contact. It's called Love and Saucers. It's an indie film. And David is so genuine, so honest, so just, this is what's happened. Well, he started doing paintings so you can get an idea of what he's seeing and how he's relating and the experiences. And some of them, you know, you might consider them to be a bit traumatic. But he remembers being on the ship. He remembers babies, his own children. He remembers the woman who he was with, who looks like a hybrid. That's my terminology. She looks half human, and definitely her face is very different from what we would consider human. And the eyes are these big, dark, black eyes with an interior blue. And so as I'm listening to another person who is an experiencer saying, well, there was something unique about the eyes. And the eyes that this other experiencer who doesn't know David is describing, she said, well, they were black, but there's this very, very intense blue. The inside has this intense blue. And that is what is fascinating, because she's describing what he's painting. And so they seem to have had experiences with this similar group, not the same group, although maybe. But when she describes the eyes that he's painting, it helps give a little bit more credibility to both of them saying, wow, without even connecting. The one movie that will be coming out, supposed to be coming out this year, is The Ariel Phenomenon. And that one in Zimbabwe, 1994, when they had the children who had a sighting with all of the children and a principal and some teachers. They all saw this. The kids had a bigger recollection and encounter than the adults. And they did the interviews with them at the time when they, right after the sighting, and then later on after they were adults and going back and saying, how did this affect your life? And that will be a really fascinating perspective, because in that you have a group who has encountered something so incredibly extraordinary. And for one thing, it's not supposed to exist. Okay. So getting beyond that and having to tell the adults around you that, yes, this is our experience. Fortunately, having a group experience, I think, gave them at least some kind of comfort knowing that somebody else was there to validate their account. A lot of these experiences, it's a one-on-one, and I believe that's intentional. Knowing my own thing, it has an impact long-term of giving you confidence eventually that you are the only one who can determine what you saw. And with mine, since this thing has been happening for 20 years, that's helpful. The problem with it is that because you're the only one, then it's easy when other people say, well, it's impossible, to question, well, is it? And as it continues, and as you continue to expand your horizons and more things continue to happen that force you to acknowledge something is happening, then you get that confidence of something's going on here. I can't explain it and I can't define it for the purpose of proving it to everybody else, but I can for myself. And so what that does is free you up to start exploring and start questioning and start discovering what's going on here underneath the surface. One of the best things you can do when you're exploring this and to increase your ability to have more psychic encounters and experiences is to unplug, get out of lockstep, get yourself away from the constant daily grind of everything happens at a certain time, at a given, in a given place, in a specified way. Get out of that lockstep routine and deviate, do something different, change things up, decompress, take time out, because that's when these things happen and you can notice them. Otherwise, you're going by rote and everything just gets kind of lost and you're an automaton because there is no deviation. There's no spontaneity. There's no open window for the extraordinary, the unseen, to make a presence. And that's what happens when you learn how to get out of the lockstep. Then these things start to become noticeable. It's like, wait a second. What did I see? How did that happen? When these things all started happening for me, it was because my life was in a state of in-between upheaval. And when I've experienced the most chaos in my external world, then the other things of this internal, and I think much more real world, started unfolding and started appearing and began to expand. And that is what a lot of this is about, at least the way I can explain it to the best of my ability, in terms of conscious living. It's being present in the moment to see, to experience, to witness the extraordinary. And at some point, when you have your comfort level of, this is my reality, it doesn't have to go along with everybody else's. It's my reality. But if I keep it to myself, I won't allow other people to have that same aha moment and know that it isn't just my reality. It's our reality. So the more we share, the more we offer these things that deviate from what we call the norm, the more we benefit, the more we grow, and the more we can appreciate that some of these things that we're experiencing now are going to be absolutely mind-blowing. And that's worth looking forward to. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these other things and what happened most recently with the nightlight that I thought had expired. Next on Conscious Living.
Hi, I'm Kelly Clarkson, and I've toured the country dozens of times, and there's one thing every state has in common: childhood hunger. The sad truth is that 17 million kids don't know where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Yet there are billions of pounds of surplus food around the country at farms and warehouses that could help end this injustice. But all that food is useless if it doesn't get where it needs to go. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids before it goes to waste. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank. Find out how at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself, so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Okay, this is what happened recently. At the end of the year, Christmas Day, I get this note to change the light. Now, I've had this nightlight thing going on for 20 years. As of December, it was 20 years. And it's like, that is mind-boggling in itself to have these experiences with the nightlight where it's just blinking and flickering and interactive. At the very beginning, when I was learning how to listen to my guides and listen to these other entities, these other beings that I could hear, and developed my own internal guide to be able to help me navigate some of this. And there are still, in the way that we tend to coordinate and try to logically explain all of this, there's still for me, there's some vagaries that I can't fully identify or define this. Every time I try to put a definition on it, then I change it. Every time I try to, you know, match it up to somebody else's explanation, it's like, no, this isn't quite it. So for me, it is my connection with a non-corporeal being. That makes the most sense. That doesn't limit it. And it keeps it open. And at the very beginning, when I tried to explain it, and I wrote in the book, Talking to Nightlights, I wrote the fact that they wouldn't let me define it. They said, don't do that until you get a better grip on what you're dealing with. Because the minute we try to define something, especially when it comes to the unknown, we immediately put it in a box. And we've limited it. I've given it parameters that it has to work, operate within. It's a square when it's a cloud or it's a lightning bolt. But because I can only visualize a certain way for it to operate, I limit it, and then it will respond. It will only do a certain amount of whatever it is engaging because I have put it in that box. Anyway, the way that it works is that this stuff changes. It evolves as we learn and as we expand our awareness. Then all of a sudden you realize I wasn't just engaging with one being. There are multiple beings who express through this one, and it's almost like a coordinator or one spokesperson, one spokes being, one spokes entity. They are multiples. They're not just one, the way we express ourselves here as individuals, except for the multiple personalities, and that's another program. Anyway, see, once you put a limit on it, then there's an exception that all of a sudden comes to mind. So with this light, we had said to change the light, and it had stopped behaving the way that it normally does, as if it was getting ready to burn out. As a matter of fact, it did look like it was burnt out. So I took that light and put it into a different plug-in because I wasn't ready to let go. I thought, okay, even if it's just a decoration, it's just fine. And then the last couple of nights, again, when you have an experience, whether it's a physical or non-physical, the energy that connects to you and relates to you is real. And so you feel that other being, you feel the presence. And it isn't like a ghost. It isn't like somebody who is living. It's just the space feels fuller. So the space was feeling empty. And this is, again, you know, working with consciousness and working with that other sixth sense, that psychic sense, that insight that you have. And after doing this for a couple of decades, then there is something that goes along with that. And I could feel it. And I had been given, you know, words to help me get ready for this, to prepare a transition. So no matter what it is from their perspective, it's simply a transition. It's a shifting from one vessel to another, one vehicle to another. And there it was. The last couple of days, it started, the light that was supposed to have been burned out, that I was not going to give away and put away or throw away, that I had stuck in another plug-in. Sure enough, the thing's going crazy, just like it used to. Just like it used to. And the new one, however, is doing its own unique pattern of turning itself off and on. Off and on. So that's what's odd, is that with this, now I have two different ways of engaging. And it's a way of expanding to remind me that I don't know how this is going to work. It's completely foreign to me. And by expecting it to die or to cease to exist because the light is supposed to burn out, I have a little bit more to learn. Now, to help fill this story out a little bit, my brother told me at Christmas, he had a strand of lights that were burnt out. And he put them on the tree just so he would have some lights on the tree, because it helped kind of, you know, make it look like it had something as opposed to nothing. But he put them on the, he said, you know, it would be really nice if for Christmas these lights worked. lo and behold, Christmas Day, those burnout lights worked. He was like, wow, I remember saying it would be really nice if they worked for Christmas. The day after Christmas, they didn't. So what we know about our reality is relative. And right now, so much of that is changing. There are more books and more stories being told, and you can find them all over the web, which is great, about experiences that people don't know how to really share without just saying, this is what happened. They don't know what they should eliminate and, you know, what, as opposed to, you know, what sounds crazy and what sounds sane, except to say, just like David with his story, Love and Saucers, this is what happened with me. And some of these stories involve people remembering things that have been happening for decades that they didn't remember until recently, until something triggered it. I suspect there's a lot of that going on where things are being triggered and we weren't ready to know any sooner. So this disclosure thing and the information that we have about potential encounters with other beings is huge, absolutely huge. It's happening one-on-one, not on the front lawn of the White House. All right? Just to give you a clue, we don't have all the answers. And that's really exciting. All right? So stay curious. And in a way to help you be curious, there's one word that works with all of this. It's called magic. And the thing that is really cool about magic, it leaves room for the unexpected, the unanticipated. Somewhere, someone is pulling the strings. That's a given. The thing about it is, we may never know who's pulling the strings. So just that search, that exploration, that incentive to figure out what the magic is about, where it comes from, is a lot to keep somebody busy for an entire lifetime and more. That's why people keep coming back. But if you want to explore and exercise your curiosity, magic is a good place to start. There's one of the quotes I put on the website, Wendy's Coffee House. It's, and above all, watch with glittering eyes the whole world around you, because the greatest secrets are always hidden in the most unlikely places. Those who don't believe in magic will never find it. That's because part of this is a way of acknowledging that something that we can't explain exists. And that something has a lot to do with what we are experiencing in reality. With my nightlights, for me, it is magical. It's extraordinary. I don't have an explanation, and I don't have a definition. I have an awareness and an understanding of how it works for me. And the fun thing was when I was first starting out and having people at the house and doing practicing channeling and practicing automatic writing and practicing connecting and expanding my telepathic awareness and asking for my guides to make an appearance. Please show me. Can you show me? And they said, we're not quite sure what you would see. The energy didn't know how to make itself known except through the nightlight. But the guides figured out a way. And so in meditation, which is where I've had some really great experiences and success, I saw two round, and it would be like a cloud, that kind of consistency. They were orange, red orange discs, you might call them orbs. In the room, they were more defined as just red, where the space is a fog. So a circular fog type presence. And there were two side by side. And that was it. I just got a glimpse and then they're gone. And those are my guides. And I didn't know what to expect. A person, a picture, something. But that's what I got. And so I've learned to suspend, don't have an expectation. Expect the unexpected. Do something that allows you to suspend your disbelief so that you can experience a bit of reality. Anytime we try to say that we know it, we lose it. I know how it's going to appear. No, that's a projection, and that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't know how it's going to appear, and then it can appear. The other element, when you're curious and you're exploring and you're expanding and you're evolving, is to remember some things might frighten you. Not intentionally, but it's that unexpected, unanticipated reality check of, oh yeah, wasn't prepared for that one. I've had a couple of instances when these unexpected things happen. One, these are nighttime. And it's just lying awake at night or being awakened. It's a wonderful state of unanticipated engagement. All right. At that point, you're kind of in between. You're asleep and awake. And so you're still connected to that non-corporeal realm. So as I am in bed and I have this sense of somebody being next to me, standing, and there's a sense of two. And I'm thinking, good grief, I'm not sure if this is, are you friend or foe? And I hear this, it's almost a giggling, a laughter. And as I'm trying to figure out what's going on and why I'm sensing this presence, these presences beside me. And so I start doing a protection, just protecting my space, putting light around my space and, putting a shield around myself and all that psychic protection. And I hear this telepathic giggle. You can't protect yourself from us. That won't work. And I'm like, okay, nice bluff. Yeah, well, what am I going to do? Okay. Can't see him. Don't know who's there. Don't know what it's about. And so I'll keep doing my thing because it's worked for me. So yeah. In the meantime, when I wake up in the morning, my earrings are undone. These are earrings that have this lovely little obnoxious screw back. And so it takes me a while to put them on and let alone take them off. That's what happened. And they were right. I didn't have a way of preventing that from happening. I did have a way of keeping myself from being scared or bullied or intimidated by the encounter. Never happened again. But it was like a little bit of a reminder that we have a lot of things in our presence, in our awareness, in our reality, that we are not yet conscious of, cognizant. And these things, these presences, these elements are a factor. Well, if they could do that, what else can they do? For me, that was just like a little hit and run. But the other one I was prepared for, and the guides had said, you need to work on your fear. And I thought I had that dealt with. I've had some things in my life that have given me an appreciation for being cautious and being, checking my surroundings and that fear element. And even if it's a ghost type experience, I have had a respect for. So I thought I had it handled. And yet at 3 a.m., that wake up call, this is why it's coffee house. the conscious part of that, when you're drinking coffee and you're going, yeah, I think I'm awake now. All right. Well, you may be awake, but you may not be prepared anyway. So the voice was a mechanical, and that's the only way I can describe it. And I don't know that it means that it is a mechanical being. I believe that was the way it could get my attention and give a form, an audio form that I could hear that would resonate. And what threw me was the vibration. and reading about Edgar Cayce's work with vibrations and other people, you know, talking about resonance and frequency and sound. Sound is absolutely, that is our basis. That's where we come from. We connect on frequency, vibration, sound. That's like breath. 1, 2, breathing and sound. So there it is. It is completely foreign. So that I automatically, the autopilot response is fear. From head to toe, I freeze. And that was when I could identify what the stopper was between me having a relationship and engaging and getting some kind of a communion, a dialogue, empathy, sympathy, relationship with this other being. As soon as I went into that fright stage, it was gone. It blocked it. And I knew it as it was happening. I'm like, shoot, can't undo it. It had already gone. And that was when I heard my guides chuckling, laughing, saying, we told you, you need to get a handle on your fear. So right now, worldwide, in our reality, we are being challenged to get beyond our fear so that we can experience these other multiple realities that are around us 24/7. And more of that is happening as each person becomes more comfortable, more conscious of these other presences, of these other realities, these other dimensions. Then we can share. It's like breadcrumbs. What did you experience? This is what I experienced. Was it the same for you? Not quite. This is what it was. And then as the sixth or seventh person comes in and gets the benefit of these other 20 or 50 people that came on before who shared their story and didn't keep it secret, didn't say, no, you're not old enough to find out. No, you didn't pay enough money to find out. No, you're not the right prerequisite, whatever it is, to find out. But said, here, you're a human being. This might be something that will come in handy. When we get there, then this consciousness thing is going to be guiding us. And instead of saying, well, is it real? Well, does it exist? Well, can we quantify it? Can we mathematically deduce it? Can we, some way, shape, or form, minimize it so we can understand it? We'll say, we don't need to do that anymore. We accept it's real. It's an experience that you have to integrate, that you have to go into without knowing to understand more, to become more, because you're not trying to become a thing. You're trying to become a no thing, a one thing, a beyond thing. The minute it has a definition, it loses that magic of all being, of beyond knowing, beyond mind, beyond body, beyond spirit, beyond soul, beyond limit, when we define it. So experiencing that, as many have, and I have, it doesn't make life all of a sudden have all the answers. What it does is it gives you an appreciation of all the stuff here that we have access to when we're willing to get beyond the autopilot preset of go to work, collect a check, go home, it's over. Day after day after day after day. Meet somebody else's expectations. Live up to their standards and their values. Instead of saying, am I here for a purpose? What might my purpose be? You figure that out, and then all the other expectations make sense or they don't. But the priority is to figure you out. How can I add to the equation? Do I even know what the equation is? What value have I brought with me? Because you have it with you. The minute you popped out on this planet, in this plane, in this sphere, in this world, You brought a present. Your present. Do you know what it is? Part of you does. And when you are ready, you'll get to see it. And when you feel worthy, you'll start sharing. And you won't worry whether anybody else says, it's legit, it has value, I'll pay for it. Yeah, that's a whole deviation. You'll share it. Because somewhere along the way, the road, whatever word you have for it, the journey, the path, somebody else needs that piece for their puzzle. And when the time is right, it'll drop into place. When you live by those values and those terms, you write your own ticket. You have a way of seeing reality that flows. That when you're asked to give more, it automatically pours. When you feel resistance, you withhold. You don't have to measure up because you are already present. I think the dog is adding an exclamation to everything I say. Not intentionally. Things happen that we have no explanation for. And as I was doing the show, I got these messages on the sideline in the Skype box. And it was like, okay, 3 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes. Okay, 60 seconds. You're done. And I'm like, why did we wrap the show early? So we went back and we added to the show. And then Nate, my producer, says, I didn't send those. They were like half an hour ago. Nate and I always have this really weird sync. There's something else that goes on behind the scenes. And that was one of the things that I thought was so funny. Because what it did for me in that moment was to let me bring back the magic to the equation. What that does is it leaves a window. It leaves an out. If you ever do any kind of psychic work, if you ever do remote viewing, if you ever do dream work, if you ever do anything like that, leave yourself an out. Don't box yourself in. Don't give yourself a conclusion. Give yourself a surprise. What if I don't close it in? What if I leave a moment open for the extraordinary? I can heal. I can win. I can believe. I can love. I can wonder. Miracles happen. They don't happen on anybody else's terms. They don't even happen on your terms, my terms, our terms. They happen because they're real. And if we had a definition for them, they couldn't happen. It wouldn't be a miracle. It'd be a foregone conclusion, which is different. Not quite as sparkly. Leave yourself room to learn, to wonder, to not have an explanation. And the experiences will be beyond extraordinary, beyond knowing, beyond defining, beyond explaining. But they will be fantastically magical. And that is what makes all this stuff so incredible. Because then when we talk about things like the science that's coming into play right now, the fact that we found water on Mars, impossible, that we're going to be able to travel light years from where we are now. I got guidance, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, saying that there were planets, habitable planets within, 4 light years. I'm like, oh, there's no science that says that. It was a clue. It was a hint. It was a carrot saying, you don't know it all. Wait, you'll know more. And that was a lot of what the book was about, talking to nightlights. Wait, you don't know it all. You'll know more. And that's what life is about. Wait. You don't know it all. You'll know more. But the waiting isn't about wait to live. It's wait to draw a conclusion. Wait to say, I know. Wait to say, there's nothing else to learn. You'll know more. When the moment comes, your nightlight moment, your moment of epiphany, your moment of out of body, of near death, after death, ghost encounter, encounter unexplainable, you'll know more. And waiting will have been worth it. So the thing is, living is knowing. And it's knowing all the varieties of wins, loses, ups, downs, in-betweens, cartwheels, skin knees. And having fun playing with things that don't exist. Because until you learn to play better and upgrade your imagination of what could be, we're kind of stuck in the present, thinking, well, what next? Why can't I fix this? That's what your imagination is for. You've got to fix it right inside you. And what the light told me at the very beginning, that I kept saying, I don't understand. Well, the night light won't show itself because it says you are the light. We are the light. And I've had that out of a body experience. I know it. I do know that because I am that. That's different. It isn't an ending. It's a completely alternate state of being. And it's extraordinary. And life goes on in whatever form. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you listening. And if there's something here that you can take forward, make it yours. Make it sing. That's why we're here. We tell our stories. We share. We grow forward. Consciousness is evolving with each and every one of us. And that is what we bring to the present. Put a bow on it and stay curious. See ya.